Chapter 11. Paddle Finds One End of Lake Superior. Paddle traveled steadily westward along the north shore of Lake Superior. Sometimes lake currents pushed him forward a mile every hour. At other times, when breezes pulled him backward off his course, he took 5 hours to travel a mile. This was a wilderness shore, but Paddle was never alone. He had for company the gulls, who nested on the rocky islands and flew up like clouds of smoke from the rocks. Indians paddled canoes among the bays, and fishermen lived along the shore in shacks and spread out their nets to dry. Sometimes towns, like toy blocks, broke the line of dark pines that was the mainland, or rivers, running from hidden lakes in the forest, cut through the cliffs in waterfalls like giant stairs of silver. At night, loons called mournfully from the water, and wolves howled back from the land. 2 months after leaving the marsh, Paddle reached the western and very narrow end of Lake Superior, where bridges crossed from shore to shore. He had come to Duluth, Minnesota, a city on a hill. Later, he drifted over a wide river to Superior, Wisconsin, on a flat plain. At these ports, many ships were loading barrels of butter, crates of eggs, and boxes of vegetables. Others were piled high with lumber for distant cities. But most of the ships at the docks were unloading coal from Indiana and Ohio and reloading iron ore. Paddle bumped against the piling of a long dock. High above him, a train was dumping the ore down pipes into a ship's hold. The train had brought this ore, that stained everything red, from the largest iron mine in the world, for which this region is famous. Paddle floated beneath one of the docks in brick-red water. Red dust sifted down on him.